Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning comes from our gospel lesson, and we're going to reread verses from chapter 9 of Mark's gospel, verses 20 to 27. So they brought the young boy to Jesus. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. This is our text. "I do believe. Help my unbelief." It was a cry of a man who was in desperate need. He probably thought things in his life just couldn't get any worse than they are at that moment. Can you imagine how that father must have felt? He had been living every hour of every day in fear for the life of his son, who was possessed by a demon. "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." Faith and doubt. The man doesn't try to hide where he is spiritually. Have you ever felt that kind of tension in your life? We have saving faith. We believe. We know that we are the forgiven children of God. Heaven is our home. And the word tells us that there is nothing that can prevent us from taking possession of our eternal inheritance. Yet life in this world is often a struggle. There are many trials, many disappointments, and we have to live with them when they come. Often, things don't go the way we think things ought to go, or things are not the way we think things should be. One of the interesting things I think about this miracle story is where it occurs in the Gospels. And it's in all four Gospels, and it's always in the same place. This miracle occurs immediately after the transfiguration of Jesus. Peter, James, and John, up on the mountaintop with Jesus. They see him transfigured in all of his glory. And then all of a sudden, there appears beside him Moses and Elijah, the two great figures of the Old Testament. And then the voice from the cloud that announces, "This is my son, whom I love." What took place on that mountaintop was so awesome that the disciples decided, "Man, we want to stay up here forever. This is too marvelous, this is too glorious. We want to be here with our glorified Lord every day." But they had to go down from the mountain to life in the world. Life in the world is quite different from life on that mountaintop. Peter, James, and John, that's the they in the first verse of our gospel lesson, come down from the mountain, and they find the rest of the disciples involved in a discussion with some of the scribes from Jerusalem. Now, the word discussion might be a little tame. They were arguing with one another. Actually, the two groups were involved in a very heated discussion. See, the problem was the disciples were unable to cast out the demon that possessed that boy. And when the scribes saw that, they saw it as an opportunity to jump into the picture and try to discredit Jesus' disciples in the eyes of the people. So when Peter, James, and John arrive on the scene, it was not a very pretty scene. There was the disciples of Jesus, the religious leaders, and many of the people of the town, and they're all yelling and arguing with one another. And the point of it all was that Jesus' disciples were not able to cast out the demon. Standing there in the middle of all that chaos was the father of that boy. He apparently had no one who could help him. A desperate situation. No matter what anyone did, no matter what the disciples tried to do, no matter what the religious leaders attempted to do, no one had any power to cast out that demon. Desperate situation. A father almost at the point of losing his faith. But now Jesus is here. And the father looks to Jesus and he says, "But if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us." If He says, if you can do anything, if you can do something, please do it if you can. Jesus' response to the Father gets right to the heart of the issue. He says to him, "You say, if you can. Anything can be done for one who believes." Anything can be done for the one who believes. The first thing Jesus gets to work at is to build up this man's faith again. Because that's exactly, at that moment, what that father needs the most. He was crushed in spirit. All those sleepless nights of worry and fear. After all the years of helplessness, all the years of tears, after all the years of turning to all the doctors and experts that he could find, that demon-possessed boy's father was at the point where he had to cry out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." It was the only thing left for him to say. Even though that father's faith was at that moment only the size of a mustard seed, if it was only like a dimly burning wick about to be extinguished, Jesus turns to the boy and orders the demon to come out of the boy and to never return. And as one final demonstration of his power, the demon violently throws the young boy to the ground. And when he does leave him, he leaves him lying there looking like he has died. But Jesus again steps into the situation, reaches out to the boy, grabs his hand, and helps him stand up and gives the boy back to his father. If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. Anything can be done for the one who believes. Some good news of great joy for us who live every day in this world yet. Life, when it comes at you, is often difficult. More often than we'd like to think, life is filled with trials and tribulations, storms, burdens, and even carrying crosses. And sometimes in life, nothing ever seems to go right. And sometimes it seems like there isn't anybody there who can help us. And all of that takes a toll on faith. All of those things whittle away at our faith and wear it down. And sometimes it can get to the point where faith is almost extinguished. We can often understand how that father, that miracle, must have felt that day. We can feel his pain. Have you ever been moved to cry out with David, "Why, O Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Lord, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. This gospel lesson is a good picture of the life of faith. The life of faith has its hills and its valleys. And as we journey through life, there are dark shadows and there are storms. And there are trials and tribulations. And at times, we may be even brought to the point where we don't know what to do anymore. We don't know where to go. We don't know who to turn to. Again, we turn to David in times like this. And we say with him, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." Our faith turns us to our Savior God. And what's really neat about that is that it doesn't matter if you feel like you're at the end of your faith. It doesn't matter if you're so fearful that you feel like you just can't hold on any longer. It doesn't even matter if you're filled with doubt. Faith promises you, your faith assures you that your Savior God is there with you, that he watches over you, that he knows where you are, that he understands what you need and with what you're dealing. He knows exactly what you need, and your faith assures you that he will never let you go. Throughout this journey, he will always guard and protect you. He will lead and guide you. He will always lead you through these storms. And he will restore your soul and refresh your faith. Why? Because he loves you. And he promises you that because he loves you, he will always be there with you, and he will help you in every need. Do you ever worry about that? Have you ever wondered, well, maybe I've just wandered too far away from him? Or maybe I've sinned too many times, and now maybe I'm not worthy of his love any longer. Remember, faith is not affected by any of those things. Faith just assures you again and again how much he loves you. The proof of that is the cross. The cross. It's always been a sign of suffering and death. The grave, a sign of death and defeat. But now take a look at those things through the eyes of faith. Because faith will reveal to you the cross as a sign of victory. Yes, Jesus died on that cross, but yes, Jesus died, but he rose again to life. And by that resurrection, he has won for us an overwhelming victory that he shares with us through faith. With the eyes of faith, look at the grave. The stone is rolled away. The grave is empty. Death could not hold Jesus. And the grave becomes for us a doorway to eternal life. And so our faith cries out, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory?" But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe. I know you love me. I know I belong to you now and forever. I know you will never let me go. And I know and believe that together we will win and